Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
I sure can. Eric, I believe that's called Wicked Awesome.
Yeah, there you go. Adding that to my personal collection. Thank you, sir.
You're very welcome.
The opinions expressed by the host and guests do not represent the opinions of Para-X Radio Network, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Some content may not be suitable for children or sensitive listeners. Please listen at your own discretion.
In order for the light to shine so brightly, the darkness must be present. You are listening to Dark Sun Rising. For more information, go to www.darksunradio.com.
When that music kicks on, you know exactly what time it is. The Dark Sun Rising once again. That means it's Monday, 10 o'clock. Oh, goodness. This is Dark Sun Rising. I am your host, Eric B., and you are listening to me live on the Para-X Radio Network. It's great to be back. It's February the 9th. As always, broadcasting live out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And the call-in line, 610-616-2112. You can text in if you're too shy to call. It's 978-233-1271. Also, for those of you who are listening live, I encourage you to go into the Para-X Radio Network's chat room. Just Google Para-X and follow the appropriate prompts. And I am in the chat room somewhere, and I will probably semi-pay attention if you have a question. Just private message me, and I'll get you a message, or at least your question, on the air. Now, also, as the intro mentioned, you can get this show on podcast after the fact at DocSunRadio.com. You can also get it on Podomatic, iTunes. I think we're on TuneIn and some other streaming apps I probably don't even remember. But if you look hard enough, you can definitely find it. All right, so that's kind of like the boring crap. Let's get that right out of the way and move on to the more interesting stuff, which is the reason why you actually tune in and listen to my voice. Anyway, as you can probably tell, I am from Boston, and so to my relatives, who I'm not even sure if they really have power, so they're probably not listening under, what was it, 27 feet of snow by now and still more to come? Yeah, it's kind of like the apocalypse has hit, or the snowpocalypse, and it's one of those things where you don't really understand, like, what it is. You get, like, here in Philly, you get, like, 6 inches of snow, and, like, the entire city shuts down for, like, a month. Imagine having 6 feet of snow, and people just brush it off going, eh, it's a little snow, but, you know, we'll get through it. I guess it all depends on, you know, the temperament and how you sort of imagine yourself, you know, dealing with crisis. You know, in Boston, you laugh it off and go, hey, that's the way it goes. Like I said, if you were in Florida, that'd be a completely different story when it dips below 60 degrees and everyone completely loses their shirt. But anyway, enough about my, you know, incoherent ramblings you hear from my guest. And tonight, yet again, bringing you the best and the brightest, as they say, the highest and the best tonight, Karen Dahlman. The name will probably ring a bell if you're into Ouija boards, probably if you listen to Coast like I do. She's done probably multiple tours of duty on that show, talking about the wonderful world of Ouija boards. Now, again, before I bring her in, when you sort of say Ouija board, you know, some people have a stereotypical notion in their head as to what that really means, and hopefully we'll dispel some of the myths and put a Ouija board in a more what's the word I'm looking for? Positive light, I guess is the way you could call it. Because again, once you say Ouija board, people always think it's the portal to hell because they watch way too many TV shows and crappy, you know, B-grade horror movies. And so that's what people think. I go back to the very, very first time that I did a group ghost hunt, and the homeowner was concerned that there'd be demonic forces in her house. And of course, we asked, well, what made you think of that? And of course, she found a, you know, I think it's Milton Bradley Parker Brothers, you know, Ouija board in her daughter's, you know, room. So therefore, that was the instant answers. And then the collective, oh, bleep, and I'll use the word bleep, collectively from the rest of the ghost hunters, that was in fact why there was demonic forces in the house. And that was like my introduction to Ouija boards. I've gotten much smarter, or marginally smarter if you ask my wife, over the years, and I now know much, much better. But my guest is the expert, or at least claims to be, and so we'll bring her in, and she'll add much, much more to this conversation. Karen, thank you so much for being part of Docs on Rising and the Parax Radio Network.
Hi, Eric. Good evening, and thank you for having me as your guest this evening. This will be fun.
No, absolutely. And I was kind of half-joking in terms of being the expert, is you've been using Ouija boards. Because my wife kind of, like, we have a home studio here in the house. And it's funny, because you gave me the look like, what the hell did you just say? And in all honesty, you are kind of like the expert. You know, there's a few other people in the field that we'll mention in the show that are also experts in the Ouija field, quote unquote. You've been using one, if I read your promo stuff correctly, for 40 years?
Yeah, actually, I'm in my 42nd year of using it. So I've been using this board for a long time.
So not to brag, it's 42.
Now, yeah, we're in the 42nd year. We got to remember all those years count.
Now, not that a gentleman would ever ask a woman her age, but like, did you start using it like in your single digits, or like when did you actually get started using the Ouija board?
I started using it in the utero. Just kidding.
That would be coming up. I'm sure like Babies R Us will have it.
Past lives. No, I started at the age of 8, so you can do the math.
Oh, fair enough. And yeah. Now, again, when you say in utero, and I laughed, I'm sure a lot of people listening, I'm sure, like I said, Babies R Us are probably going, damn, that's like actually a pretty good idea. Now, like I said in the introduction, when most people think Ouija board, the first thing they think of, and that's what makes me absolutely just cringe, is they think The Exorcist or some other sort of, you know, horror movie that, you know, the Ouija board's the portal to hell and we're conjuring demons and blah, blah, blah. That could be, it probably could not be any further from the truth. So in terms of dispelling the ugly rumors and myths, what exactly makes up a Ouija board? What do you need?
Well, you don't need a Ouija board at all. Per se, the wooden board or what they make now is a cardboard board, you can just take a paper sack and write your letters and numbers on it and turn over a Pyrex dish or double old fashioned and away you go. I've done that many times over the years. I've experimented with different types of materials before. I know people who use the CDs, like DVDs, CDs, and the clear ones, and they'll use them as the planchette itself and moves around the board. I've seen some really interesting renditions of this tool. So, no, you don't need the board, but the board has just really been great for Hollywood because it is a very mysterious tool. And, it comes in a box. There's not directions. It just kind of gives you questions and plays around with the idea that you're going to be speaking to something. Or are you? Who are you talking to? So it's so mysterious. And so when The Exorcist came out in 1973, December 26th, I got my board on December 25th, 1973, the same day before, right? Pretty interesting. And Hollywood ran with it. And they ran with it in a really clever way because they're about making money, right? And the Ouija board was one of the most popular selling items since all the years, but when Parker Brothers took it over in 1966, it outsold Monopoly. Monopoly was the number one board game. So here we are a few years later, they're using it in The Exorcist, which makes all the sense, because there's a toy that's real pop. It's called, they call it a toy. I don't call it a toy, and we'll get into that later. But they used it and really ran with it and marketed off of that. Brilliant, 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 brilliant. But yet, the flip side is we have this whole myth about the Ouija and that it's this horrible thing. Now, the Ouija board is not the horrible thing. It's our own minds. It's our own energy that actually creates a lot of this crap and mythology and legends and lore we have around the board. So it's really yourself that's the most important part when you do this work with the board.
Gotcha. So essentially, the Ouija is a tool, I hate to use the term medium, but I guess it's appropriate.
That's fine. That's fine. Fair enough.
To communicate with spirits, and so it's more of your intent as to what you want to bring through and communicate with that could possibly be beneficial, and then the flip side of any coin is could also be potentially harmful.
Yeah. Think of the board as just neutral. You know, it's something that's created, crafted, and put in a box, and it's neutral. All the tools that we use if we want to communicate with the other side or we want to communicate with fate or destiny, you know, such as the I Ching or throwing the runes or reading the tarot cards or pendulums and all that stuff, it's just a tool. It's neutral. It's totally neutral, neutral, neutral. We give a lot of times, too often, we give our power over to it and say, this thing created, like you were talking about recently in the beginning of the show, how, you know, there was a Ouija board in that room, so all of a sudden the house is possessed because of the board. We put too much focus and energy on that tool. I put the focus and energy on my connection to the spirit guides that I speak with. I just happen to use this tool really well and get great level of communication from them with this tool.
Interesting. Okay, so in order to actually use the Ouija board, the first thing I have to get out of the way, this is going to drive me insane if I don't ask. People always say that Ouija basically means we, meaning yes in French, and ja, meaning yes in German. Is that in fact how they got the name for the board?
Absolutely a wives' tale and a farce.
I knew it. Okay.
Do you want to hear the story of this?
Absolutely.
Okay. It's really kind of a cool story. So some of the founders of the board were using it in the beginning and before they had actually put it out there in the market. And they just asked the board, what would you like to be called? When I say ask the board, we're really talking to whatever energy, spirits, whatever it is you're talking to. People think it's EDM motor, your own brain, your higher self. So they asked that energy source, what would you like to be called? And it's spelled out Ouija. Now, Helen Peters is a woman who plays big time into the history of the Ouija board, because she was with the original people that went down and got it patented. And they actually showed the patent officer how it worked. And he said, I'll give you your patent on the spot if you prove to me this works. And so she told him some private information. He's like, oh my God, you got your patent granted. Go for it. You can apply for your patent. I mean, it was working that well. Helen Peters had this locket on her neck, and it was a little necklace. She opened it up, and in it was a picture of a woman, and she thought it said Ouija. It probably really said Ouida, because Ouida was a pen name of a very famous woman writer at the turn of the century, like late 1800s, and she went by the pen name Ouida, Helen said, I wasn't thinking of that at all. She wasn't even doing the board. I wasn't thinking of that. And the name stuck. But they said, what does that mean? And the board, the planchette spelled out, good luck. So they actually had the board patented under Ouija and also under Egyptian good luck board. So they used both those in the very beginning when they first had it patented.
Interesting. Okay. See, like I said, you are in fact the expert, and so I'm learning something new every day. Now, in terms of the board, you don't necessarily have to be a psychic or medium to use it. Hence, why it's there. Correct?
Yes, and I say that, and I write in my book, The Spirits of Ouija: Four Decades of Communication. I share that with people and tell them that there's ways you can develop this. But I will say this: I think that I have such uncanny results because I've always been very knowledgeable of the other side. I when I was a child, I would see spirits and beings and lights, and I had a what they call imaginary playmate. It was not; it was very real. But I always had these experiences throughout my life, and they would wax and wane, and they were very prevalent when I was younger. So by the time I was 8, I wasn't having like the imaginary playmate anymore, but I was having visitations, and the board to me made perfect sense to be able to communicate with them. And so I started that whole process of doing that. And I think for me, maybe that's why it has worked so well for me over these years. But I will say this, if you, with any tool, you know, if you feel a call for it, a call to using that tool, it will eventually work for you. You just got to take the time. And Eric, I got to say, working with the board, using the planchette, you have to have many miles on that planchette to really get it to work consistently, and you have to work it over a period of time. Now, time could be a matter of, for some people, a month or two. It could be up to 6 months or longer, but you want to do it consistently, regularly, like maybe once a week, maybe twice a month, and you want to, you know, do it for about an hour, maybe an hour and a half at the most, and then you just keep, with the patience, you begin to pull in the spirits. But so having said that, I don't just pull at anything and anybody. And I've learned my lessons over the years not to do that. I really tune into these higher frequencies of beings who communicate through the board with me. And I talk all about it in my book and all the different spirits I speak to. And then sometimes new ones come in. For the most part, it's I have three that – actually four. There's my angel comes in and out every now and then. She's not as prevalent as she used to be. But three of them that come through regularly, and I've had them since 1994. And they said they'll be with me for the rest of my life, you know, doing this kind of work.
Interesting. Okay. Now, in terms of your use of the board, I said 42 years. It takes a little time to, I guess, grease the wheel, so to speak. How many spirits do you think you've communicated in that sort of time? And do the spirits stay with you, or do they kind of come and go as you need them?
Numbers and numbers and numbers, and it just it's out of control sometimes. When I first started, I didn't understand the whole thing of protection. I didn't understand the whole thing of intention. Heck, I was 8 years old. You know, what did I know? I just wasn't afraid of it. That's the number one thing. You can't have a fear of this, because fear will breed fear. Fear is the opposite of love. You got to come to this with feeling, you know, centered in yourself and strong in yourself. So I would speak to mostly dead people. I think when people start using this board, what I find happening is they talk to the lower astral planes, and that's where they get into problems with sometimes spirits, and they'll talk about, you know, havoc being caused, or somebody's cussing to them on the board, or not nice things are said, et cetera. But that's, I think this is, they're talking more in the astral realm. I call it the dead zone. So it's not that it's bad to talk to dead people. It's just, you know, it's like going into a haunted house where you have poltergeist activity and negative things happening. You don't really want to be communicating with that. So people start out doing that. And I say the most critical part of doing that is have your intentions, you know, work with what kind of protection works for you. And I always give ideas of that in the book, and we can talk about that. But it's important, really, the intentions and how you feel, because you're going to get exactly back the same quality of vibration of your feelings and thoughts that you have, that you harbor within, is what you're going to get back, and that's what you're going to connect with. You can only connect to that to which you are or which you strive to be. So if you strive to have these higher beings I'm talking to, or these angels and guides, you've got to work with your vibration. They come down to meet ours, and we move up to meet theirs. And it's a process. But I didn't know that right away, and I learned it over trial and error. And once I started realizing the significance and the sincerity of this work and how it can really help people heal with grief and closure, especially with a loved one that had died, I learned that it's a very valuable tool, and that I started using it differently. It wasn't like, oh, fun and games, let's maybe be blindfolded and show you how this tool works. And I would do all kinds of things like that and speak to almost anybody that would speak to me on the board. And that was in 80, about 87. And so that's, you know, it was about, I guess, 14 years after I've been using it, that I really learned there's a whole significant approach to this, a real approach that you got to take when using this tool. And when I did that, everything shifted in terms of the communication, who I talked to. So I always tell people in the beginning, people write to me all the time about this, how to do this and all this, when they feel a calling for it, I say really try to find on the other side your gatekeeper, your angel, your guardian, who's going to be there at that portal, if you will, when you open up that space to communicate. Who's going to be that's going to help you be, like I call it, my bouncers? Who's going to help you kind of moderate and mediate what can come through and not come through. And also, you know, a lot of times when there's excited spirits out there, and let's say I have a few people in the room with me, they fight to come in. I should say fight. It's not like a fight. But you can hear all these different conversations trying to come in by the way they spell, how they move on the board, and they're just jumping in. There has to be a little more order to that for me to be able to have a serious conversation with them. So I have the people on the other side, they're really spirits on the other side, energies on the other side that really help moderate that. And so they do that work to serve as that, you know, gatekeeper. But really, it's been numbers of different energies I've spoken with. And so, you know, not just dead people, but again, angels, guardians, guides, higher beings, my higher self, a fetus, a person in a coma, animals, dead and alive. There's so many levels of consciousness that you can communicate with. In fact, I call the Ouija board my cosmic phone. It's like I'm dialing up and dialing up my friends on the other side to come through. And it's just incredible all the different levels of consciousness you can actually communicate with.
Interesting. Okay. Now, like you mentioned, it's the cosmic phone. And you said that when you sort of open it up, things that are of similar energy or frequency or something kind of come to you. You can't necessarily pick it up and say, I want to contact whomever, like you see in the movies, and they call them out by name. That's not possible, is it?
Yes and no. It can be. Let's say you're new at doing it. It's probably very unlikely. Let's say you've been doing it for a while. You may be able to. Like, people come to me and say, I need to really speak to my father who died a few years ago. Or I need to speak to so-and-so. Or can you communicate with my dog that just passed away? And a lot of times I can through the board. So it's just, you know, it's a matter of if they're available, if they're willing to come through, if they're ready to come through. And it really, it's also the person that comes in or asks the questions that's sitting there and wants to communicate. They may say they want to, but then part of them may be really reticent and having a hard time to believe this, or still has that fear that Ouija is a negative tool. So there's a lot of combinations of energies that have to come together. In a way, the planets have to be aligned to always get those people to come through. Now, the beings I communicate with will always come through if I call on them, the main three or four that I talk to. But if somebody had just passed over, it may be too soon. And it may also be that they may not come through for a good while because that person that wants to communicate with them, maybe it's not, they're not really ready for the information. So really, it just really depends. There's a lot of factors involved with that. But yes and no, it can happen.
Interesting. Okay. Now, in terms, again, of the beings that sort of seek you out, do they know, like somehow instinctively know, or are they taught, and I know that sounds silly, but are they taught how to use the Ouija board? Because if you're just kind of open, like I know, for example, mediums, they have some sort of amazing skill or curse, depending on who you ask, that, you know, they go to some sort of vibration level and then other spirits kind of connect somewhere in the middle. Now, when you're opening up the Ouija board, how are those spirits making that connection?
It's very similar, actually, and they explain it to me all the time. It's very similar to that, and you, again, it's all through vibration. Now, you want to really raise your vibration. You want to be in a place of happiness or at least contentment. You want to feel relaxed, calm. You don't want to be agitated. You want to get yourself in a place. I call it finding your center. And other people may say finding my place where I feel at peace, or I feel connected to the God source, or it's that kind of thing. And I'll do a series of breathing exercises coupled with a circuitry exercise, coupled with a prayer, an incantation, if you will, that I'll say. And that's my way. It varies for different people, but that's my way of getting into my center. In fact, before I do any radio show, before I even do any business meetings in my other business I run, I will do that same process of the breathing, of the prayer, because it's my energy, and my energy is going to attract like vibration no matter what I'm doing in life. So I always approach the Ouija board like I would approach situations in life too. It's a very empowering tool to begin to get in your center, because the more you're in your center, the easier it is for the spirit guides to come through. Now, they have a hard time working the Ouija board. That is another reason why it takes a lot of time on the planchette, because it's hard for them to come through and spell. And then they're not used to spelling out letters. They're used to giving you streams of consciousness of thought that comes so quickly that for them to slow it down, what they tell me, they might leave out a word or two. They might say this beautiful thing for a paragraph or a page, and all of a sudden I go, I think there's a word or two missing. And I ask them, and they say, oh, yeah. Well, we lost that because in translation, and also it's hard for them to slow themselves down. They as quick as you know, you think a thought in your mind, or you could fall asleep at night, have a dream. The dream seems like it went on like an epic dream or a saga for hours. It was really only 10 minutes. That's how it works for them. It's so fast, and they have to really slow that down to spell on the board. It's not the most concise way for them to work. Let's put it that way.
Right.
It's not the easiest way.
I mean, because I've gone to like spiritualist churches where they do like table tipping and other sort of things. Mm-hmm. And it's not that it's odd. It kind of looks funny, you know, where they almost like, okay, they'll say, all right, tip the table once for A, and then God forbid if the person's last name begins, or the person's first initial's T. And I'm like, so they're waiting for like the table to tip, and they're counting it down, A, B, C. I'm like, that has to be some way easier, hence the Ouija board would probably be much easier to use.
Yeah, was developed. You know, and that's fascinating you brought that up. The spiritualist movement happened in the United States about the mid-1800s. Mm-hmm. And the Fox sisters are really the ones that were considered the head of the movement, of the spiritual movement, because they did this technique where they had knocks on the wall. And by how many knocks that came through the wall, like one knock was A, two knocks were B, three knocks were C, and so forth. They would sit there and do that, like basically for hours, you know, right, to get a message. So the Ouija board, you know, came out after the alphabet cards and a few other devices, cards you point your finger at and you felt the energy of the spirit and all these things. That this became the quickest way, automatic writing probably is, but they paired the automatic writer, which is the planchette basically without the pencil and the aperture for the pencil, and they put that on the board, and voila, you can spell a lot quicker. Now, when I do the board, it depends who I'm using it with. It can move like A, D, E, or it can go B, Q, D, R, S, P, D, that fast. And I'm like, wow. And it's hard for me to keep up with the writing sometimes, you know. It did definitely change the whole way that spirit communication worked, and I think it's why the Ouija board is still around, because it is a tool you can use rather quickly, in a sense, and it is accessible to all, but it allowed them to move through the, instead of doing table tipping and then knocking on the wall and all these other ways of communicating that took so long, it really sped up the process. It was almost like new technology in
right.
a way for to use with the spirits.
Well, let me ask you this one in terms of like you said, sometimes it's very, very slow and sometimes it's fast. I've seen some people when they do them with Ouija board sessions, what they'll do is they'll have like a digital recorder handy where they'll call out the letters, or someone will be like a scribe who's not necessarily sitting around the board, but will write them all down just in case they miss a word or a phrase, and they'll go back to it later. Is that something that's a good tool to use?
Absolutely. In fact, how I did it up until just recently, I'm old school. I've been old school Ouija board. I got my original board. I still use it, although I do collect Ouija boards, but I use my original 1970s board I got in 1973, so it's circa 1970s. I have done this forever, and I still do it to this day. I handwrite it out. One hand's on the planchette, my other hand's on the paper and pen, and I'm writing, and I said letters out loud, just as I explained a few minutes ago. I'll call them out, and that way they hear them, I hear them, the person sitting there hears them, and I'll write. Now, if there's another person in the room who's comfortable writing, I have a way I code the writing too. So it's like the shorthand thing I've been doing over the years that I developed, that, you know, I might just continue writing myself. But if somebody's in the room and they can write, I'm more than happy to give that to them, because I can just put all my energy on the planchette with both my hands. Sometimes my partners want me to have both hands on there, but I can't if I'm spelling. But we're using a recorder. Mm-hmm. And so I'm also going back and capturing every little bit that was said. But I write every single letter down. I have been doing that since it was like 86, 87. I started doing that, writing every single thing down. And I kept, by the way, my book was written, from all those journals I kept. And to this day, I just keep adding to my collection of journals of all the sessions.
Yeah, because all the questions I ask are nice little segues into your book. So they do have purpose, I swear. now, in terms of, like you said, with using the board, it's almost like I've heard with, let's say, for example, psychics that use tarot cards, they'll say, you can't touch mine. You know, you have to keep the energy separate. Does the same thing sort, like I know with the Ouija board, you're supposed to use it with at least one other person, right? Are you allowed to use it alone, or does it have to be at least two people?
I recommend two people. I do know people who use it alone. I've experimented that myself. I just recommend two people because it's easier to allow it to move and not second guess yourself if you're doing it by yourself. You're going to think, oh, I'm pushing this. It's a lot easier with somebody else there. Plus, there's a whole idea of having a partner that you can communicate about the session, during the session, and have like that subjective, and more of objective opinion if you get some personal messages. They go, that doesn't ring true, or, you know, that kind of thing. So it's great to do that. Now, the way I use the board is I like to have another person for the most part, and we like to have discussions during the session. And so it becomes this very therapeutic, if you will, like a Ouija therapy session, where it's not just the spirit talking, it's all of us together. So they will jump in as we're conversing about some questions or they give us a concept to think about, and we'll think about it, and they might respond back with a suggestion or an idea. They don't just flat out always give me answers. My spirit guides really work with me and the people that come to the sessions to really work for themselves, to learn that they themselves can have this direct connection to the higher self, to source, to these beings without even the board. So they really are helping us develop spiritually, if that makes any sense to your listeners, because they're going to go, well, spiritual, how's this spiritual? Well, it's spiritual when you go back to your center. The lessons I've learned through using the board, especially right after I got serious with how it can be used in 86, 87, that right on that time frame, I realized this, how serious this tool is, and that it really can be used for higher good, and to develop yourself personally and also spiritually. And also psychically, some really interesting things happen. So because of that shift, I'm very spent on using it to do that. And so what they teach me through the work is that all the answers really are within me. They're really within you. They're within all of ourselves. They just help extrapolate that. They help us find it. Not by always giving us the answer, but by asking us questions back. Although they will give answers to some things, but they'll also say, now, let's think about this a little differently, and they'll ask me a question back instead. And then I'll have a conversation with my partner or anybody else in the room, and then they might just jump in. As soon as they jump back in and have something to say, you know, we have our hands on the planchette while we're conversing, and as soon as they talk, we shut up and let them go, you know. It's really quite fascinating. So it's like they're in the room with us and just sitting at a round table, and we're having really brilliant conversations about deeper meaning in life.
No, that's fascinating. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. I got one quick question, and then we'll take a quick commercial break. Like I said, I have a bunch of listener questions. Someone actually kept trying to call in. From the area code, it looks like San Diego, California, but they kept calling. It's like, just hold off until the second half of the show. So hopefully they'll call back.
Oh, good.
But
okay.
In terms of this question, and again, this is from a listener. Thank you very much for the question. It's an excellent question. In terms of the planchette, you mentioned very early in the program how you don't necessarily have to use the standard Ouija board with the planchette with like the little glass piece in the middle, so you can sort of see what letters are being chosen. You can use other like materials, but that have like a similar usage. Now, in terms of the planchette, why do we need the planchette? Why do the sitters have to sort of sit and touch it? Couldn't the spirits kind of push it around the board on their own?
I've never seen that. People have seen that. People have told me stories about how planchettes have moved on their own, but not to spell out words and stuff. No, they make us work, and they work through our energy. That's what I understand. That's what they tell me. So they work through. They kind of combine with our energy in a way, and they use our energy to help. Not like they're inhabiting my body. This is not what this is about. They work with the energy field of what we created here, as our intentions are, and they help move it through our hands. What happens is, I forgot what the feeling was like when I first started, because it was so many years ago, but I love asking people when they start new on this tool and they work with me, and they'll say it's like a pulling. Instead of you feeling like you're on it, pushing it, or it starts pulling you. So you go, I say, that's it. Go with the pulling feeling. I can distinguish that. That's just like a second nature for me. But hearing it from somebody new, that's how they explain it. It's like a pulling, and you stay with it behind it. And then it uses that. It's like a pulling thing, and you just stay with it, and it starts spelling. But no, I've never seen the planchette move by itself. I don't even know. For me, I think you'd have to believe that. I don't necessarily believe that would work. But yes, you can use all different types of easy sliding, moving materials on any kind of board. And I know some people that make lovely, just absolutely beautiful, exquisite spirit boards, talking boards. They're not Ouija boards. This is not Parker Brothers or Hasbro, but they're beautiful pieces of artwork with different kinds of images on it. It doesn't even have to be the traditional images. It could be animals, trees. I mean, there's so many different kinds of talking boards out there, and people use different kinds of planchettes. I'm old school. I like my old board, and I use the original planchette with it. And I that's what I use. And I will take that planchette and use it on even different boards that I have, because that's the planchette I feel the most comfortable with. It's just what I've always used. So, but I have worked on boards that other people have created that use these different kinds of techniques and tools to that slide around. It's kind of cool.
Excellent. That's a perfect spot to take a quick commercial break. You're listening to Doc Sun Rising on the PowerX Radio Network. I'm Eric B. We'll be right back.
Source for everything paranormal. Para X.
All right, we are back. You're listening to Dark Sun Rising, home on the Power X Radio Network. It's Monday night, 10 o'clock. My guest tonight, Karen Dahlman, and we're talking about all things Ouija, the Ouija board. Kind of pushing down the myths and actually talking about how it can actually be used as a spiritual tool to communicate with those on the other side of the veil, as they say. Now, I did get in some listener questions that I've sort of scribbled down. There was someone who actually called from the 619 area code, which, from my calculation, is San Diego, California. You called, like, in the first 10 minutes of the show, so I apologize if I kept sort of bumping you out to voicemail. Please call back, and I'll gladly bump you to the top of the list in terms of callers. Hopefully you've been enjoying the show, and as I mentioned, the call-in line is 610-616-2112, and the show is available for download after the fact at darksunradio.com, Podomatic, iTunes, TuneIn, and like I said, I could not even list all the different types of streaming services where you can get this show. All right, so now we get right back into it again. My guest tonight is Karen Dahlman. Oh, here's the guest that keeps calling. Hold on, let's add this in. Good evening. Who's this?
Hi. My name is Rocky.
Hello, and you have a question for the guest.
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, fire away. You're live.
Okay, one second. Let me turn this off.
Yes, please turn your radio.
Okay, I just did. Thank you. 40 some years of doing the same thing, that's fascinating. But some of the things, Karen, that you talked about were you're a writer, and you guys talked about automatic writing. You were talking about mediums. And I'm a big fan of Esther Hicks and, by connection, Abraham. And a lot of the things that you're talking about sound like the same type of things of channeling. So here's my question. Is this the same thing? Does this touch on all of those things? Do you do all of these things? And are you moving past the Ouija board after 40-some years? And can you do these other things independent of the Ouija board?
Great questions, Rocky. Well, thank you for being persistent and calling back. I'm glad to have you on the show. Great information. And people that don't know who Abraham is, Esther Hicks channels this entity called Abraham. And she actually got started on a Ouija board. And then also, a lot of you people might know Jane Roberts, who's channeled Seth, who also got started on a Ouija board. So the stuff I'm getting since back in the 80s has gone to the level of that kind of information. It's gone to the level of being very helpful. It's always of love and light. It's always of universal truth and knowledge. It's always to teach us to go back and find our inner strength, our inner self. It's telling us too that we all too can tap into that energy. And I know Abraham talks about that. The spirit beings that I communicate with are telling me the same thing. And that's always their lesson is we're here for you. We've always been here. You just need to learn to listen. And so they're asking me, and that's a great question you brought up, where does this take me next? They've been asking me to meditate more, and that's the practice I've been putting into place over the last few years, and to do more journaling. And so what's happening, Eric and Rocky, is that now it's starting to come. They're starting to come through me without the board, and I can hear them and I can work with them. And what's really fascinating about this whole work is that the more you open yourself to your higher self, and they're just part of Source. And so when you connect to your higher self, that is also Source. And what happens is amazing synchronistic events start happening. You can start creating things in your life that will manifest quickly or quicker than they may have in the past. And I see this time and time again in my life, and I'm just so blessed and fortunate to have this kind of teachings. So I'm working on the meditation and hearing them directly more, and it's really, really taken me in this last year, 2014, to some places of great depth to look at some things in my life, as well that, you know, that may be a little more painful, but also to find it come out and emerge with something that really is I want to share. So my third book I'm writing is about this stuff, how we really can tap into this source in a whole alchemical way and transform ourselves through this type of work. Not necessarily Ouija, but Ouija is a part of that. Ouija's always been a part of that for me. In fact, I call Ouija my mystifying oracle. It is my great oracle, because the messages I've been receiving over these last 20 plus years, 24, 25 years of the recent have just been crazy cool. That's to say the least. Did I answer your questions, Rocky?
No, that's awesome. I think what you're doing is terrific, and I really thank you for putting a good spin on Ouija instead of a negative spin on spirituality.
Thank you very much. Right, yeah, very good. Definitely could be a tool.
All right. Thank you for that question. Thank you for listening. All right. Very good. That was from San Diego, California.
Right. Awesome. That's not too far from, I'm down in San Clemente, not too far from me.
Oh, very cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, here's some questions from people who didn't really, not, I wouldn't say not, didn't have the guts, but prefer to text or email or private message in their questions.
Oh, good.
This one question, this is a frequent listener to the show. She wanted to know, how long after someone has died, deceased, passed over, crossed over, whatever the term that you like to use, mm-hmm. how long is the gap between them passing and them being able to then communicate through that board?
Very interesting question. Okay, so a lot of psychics will tell you at least 30 days. I have found that it really, again, depends on a lot of different circumstances. I've been able to speak to somebody who passed over within a week. Now, it may not be the right time, but how I see it as, who am I to say when it's somebody else's right time? I can only really clean my own back porch. I can't clean everybody else's back porch or take care of everybody else's business. So even on the other side, so I really respect if they want to come through. I've had people that just are just in a horrible space because they lost a loved one, and the loved one was able to come through and just said, you know, tell so and so that this is where I'm at, and I'm really in peace right now. So I've had them come through rather quickly sometimes. Other times they don't come through at all. So I've had both extremes of that in terms of communicating with the deceased. It really, again, it's like alignment of the planets and everything's got to be just right. And there's also something known as soul contracts. I don't know if I talk about this too much on the radio, but we're going in that direction, so I might as well. A soul contract is when you have your own, it's not really predestiny or predetermined or fate. It's that you have your agreements with other beings that you're going to be in this life with, that you've agreed on the other side, like in between lives, because I believe in past lives too, and in between lives. And those agreements say that maybe you're going to behave this way to me to push me to be this. It's always towards evolution. It's never toward devolution. It's always toward growth. And so even though something really horrific happens in our life, like we go through a divorce, we lose our job, your child dies, horrible things, there's always some soul contract that came and said, this is what I'm going to do in life for you. So this is what I'm going to do for you. And it may look horrific at times, but know that I love you from the greatest respect of love. So things like that happen too. And so maybe sometimes when somebody passes over, that soul contract was not to come back and communicate with them anymore. Maybe it's for them to leave them alone to find their own way, maybe. Or maybe it is for them to come back. So there's this whole other level of blueprint going on, and we'll just call it soul contracts in this case, that can also affect that communication as well.
All right, very nice. Great question. Thank you from the listener. Another frequent listener had this question, which again was fantastic, and I'll add on one of my own, which it was kind of like in a similar vein. Using like someone else's board. So for example, like you get your board, you sort of imprint your energy and what mm-hmm. you need on your board. If you go and use someone else's board, is it possible that somehow their energy may bring in some spirits that may not be the best for you?
Yeah, that's a tricky question, and that's another really good question. I love these questions. They're really making people probe and think about this this tool. Okay, I have my favorite board, as I mentioned. I will use other boards. I've used other people's boards. Sometimes it's more of a do I resonate with it? Does the vibes feel good to me? And if they do, it seems like it works better. It's really, again, our intentions and how we feel. And if I feel like, oh, I don't like that board, it's going to be a little harder to work. I have to be really open to it. So I really see past the board because it's more about the connection. I'm really about the connection to my higher self and to these energy beings. I'm all for the communication. So I can see past the board. Now, after having said that, would I just lend my board out to anybody? Absolutely not. Would I let anybody just pass it around the room? Absolutely not. Because I feel like not everybody's attentions are there with it. Mm-hmm. And we do leave an imprint. I mean, it's like psychometry. That's the art and practice of reading somebody's, like, their ring. You take the ring off their hand, you could tell from where it came from. It was your grandma's. It was a very special ring. And I did a lot of practice on psychometry years ago, reading objects. And yes, there becomes objects with energy on it. Now, because of how I feel about working with the energies of the universe, we'll just call it that, the spirit beings, the multidimensional beings, interdimensional beings, all these entities, I'm not afraid. And because I'm not afraid, if there's some energy on a board, I've never had an issue with that. Even the boards I buy off of eBay, even the boards that, you know, are supposedly possessed, that people say that, I bypass all that. I have my own beliefs and my rituals and cleaning, and it's really what I believe against, what I believe and feel. But I will go through the process of some kind of ritual, like saging a new board, mm-hmm. Because there is energy with it. I'll give you an example, Eric, and so I love these questions. The people are really asking some stuff that allows me to share a little bit more about this fabulous tool. I bought this board. It's a 1902 board. And I bought it about maybe 3 or 4 years ago. And I think I got it on eBay and paid a pretty penny for it. It's worth a hell of a lot more now, but I love this board. It's a cute little board and it's solid wood and it's my oldest board in my collection. I remember Ouija came out in 1891. It was out in the public, 1891. So mine's 1902. So it was one of the original kind of boards. I brought it to my house, took it out of the box, put it down. I forgot to sage it, protect it, or put a prayer around it, or release the energy from it. I went to bed that night. And there's a rule I have with any spirits, because of all my experiences as a child seeing spirits and visitors in my room. I put a rule up where you cannot pass this threshold of my door. So what happened was, something made me wake up. I look at the door of my bedroom where all these spirits lined up. I can see these ethereal beings. Sometimes the spirits are solid. These are more whitish, but I can see them lined up wearing period clothes it looked like it was at least 100 years ago. And the board, of course, is over 100 years old. And so who knows who used it over all these years, but they were lined up and wanting to come in my room and they knew they couldn't. And as soon as I opened my eyes, what I heard in my head was, shucks, she woke up. And they took their finger and snapped it down and they just disappeared. I said, yes, you gotta go. And I realized, I brought that board in the house. I just got lazy. So I went out the next day and I did my prayer with it and I saged it and I never had an experience since. And it sits with all the rest of my boards and it behaves now.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, I've got a lot of questions in a similar sort of genre that everyone wants to know about, demons. Well, I'm not even going to touch it, but to sort of bring it up in a more, how would you put it, in a more helpful way. You mentioned very, very early in the show about having like bodyguards and gatekeepers and such, almost like your support network, I guess, on the spiritual side. So they're the ones that would protect you from allowing anything that's not very nice or negative or potentially harmful from ever reaching you, so to speak.
That's absolutely correct. We can call it a firewall, like in a computer situation or analogy to a computer. It's a firewall. And so when you're working on the board and you're new at it, you're going to be in that astral level. That's the easiest level to contact, the recently deceased and the ones who are still walking the earth. Don't even know they're dead. I mean, when you die, it's not like you have all of a sudden this great knowledge. And we talk about the other side all the time. It's not like all of a sudden you have all the wisdom of the world and the ages in you. If you die with that personality. And then when you move on and start evolving on the other side, you start learning and growing and then you start learning more stuff. But when they first die, they're attached to that personality they were. Bitter, angry, upset, happy, whatever they are, you'll get them. That is what we can call demons. People like to call that demons. Do I believe in demons? I believe that there's negativity. I believe that there's spirits out there. They're just humans. They do bad things, horrific things sometimes. But are they the devil incarnate? No. Are they the devil? No. I believe that what they are is they're just stuck in their personality or behavior of the past. And so they will come through and until you learn to work with this energy more, they don't come through anymore for me. They can't come through. It's a really huge, great big firewall I have on the other side, of great gatekeepers. But they did come through in the beginning, and they may come through and cuss, yell at you, tell you what to do, all these things that should not, never, never, never entertain on the board, because all you're doing is building up that bad energy. So if you want to get to a different level with the board, which I highly recommend, I don't know why anybody want to stay in that level of that negativity, is you just build up those gatekeepers again. And you'll know who they are over time, and it takes a while. So you really, in the beginning, really protect yourself, and whatever that means to you. For me, what I tell people, and what I do for myself is I already have a spiritual practice in place, and it's my meditation. It's my time of contemplation and reflection. It's my journaling. It's my connection back to the higher self and my connection back to source. And I communicate with it all the time. I call upon it all the time and I use white light. I use saging. I may use crystals. I've done different things over the years. Whatever that feels like I'm empowered, that's what I use. And I ask people to do that too. Have that connection and call upon, those guardian angels to guide you. And that's part of your induction. That's part of your initiation when you begin using this board to do that work. You'll start finding greater strength and clarity within yourself that you will know the difference when you get the spirits who are a little higher, or more evolved. I do think the spirits that are a little more negative, they're not bad. They just are stuck in their bad ways, like people. People do bad things, they go to jail and stuff like that. There's consequences for their behavior. Well, when they die, there's also consequences too. And some of them are lost from the light for a while. Some of them roam around until they wake up. I've had spirits come through and say, "Where am I? Where am I? What is this?" And they give me addresses, and I've checked them out and verified it. And sure enough, it was like a funeral home. I've done this many times, and they're stuck. And they go, they didn't even realize they were dead. Or it's just amazing things. It's just amazing stories, and I have to laugh when I tell them because I'm always amazed. It's never, this tool never ceases to amaze me with what can be used, how it can be used, and what you can do with it.
Excellent. Now, let me just jump in and tap the brakes just slightly. I want to get to the commercial plug portion before we run out of time. Now, your website is Karen A. Dahlman. That's spelled DAHLMAN.com. That's your website. The book that we've been sort of touching on is The Spirits of Ouija, Four Decades of Communication. For those who are listening to this show, where's the best place to get that book?
Well, if they want an autographed copy, come to my website. Also, you can go to Creative Visions Publication, plural. That's also connected. That's the publishing house. And that's my website. And so you can go there. And if you want to get it on Kindle, you can go to Amazon, paperback at Amazon, and, you know, check it out there. And you can also go to your local bookstores and order it as well. My first book, if I can just mention that, Eric.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, thank you. It's called The Spirit of Creativity, Embodying Your Soul's Passion. It gets more into some of this connective stuff back to the universe and how you can create synchronistic events in your life and stuff. That one came out a couple of years ago. The Spirits of Ouija just came out a year ago. And the new book will be coming out in April. In time for OuijaCon, which is happening in Baltimore, Maryland. Big OuijaCon event. I know Eric's going to go, and it's going to be a fabulous time. And it's April 24th through the 26th. 3 days. I'll be there. I'll be one of the speakers. A lot of really great speakers you guys all know from different radio shows. They've been on your show, Eric. They've been on Coast to Coast. And it'll be a fun event. I hope people come out. And I'll have all kinds of books there, too. Oh. So it'll be a fun time.
Absolutely. We'll definitely have to hang out. Like I said, I will Excellent. Be there, as well as Rebecca from the Shadows Radio. She'll be there as well all weekend. I think, like I said, we're like unpaid guests. So I guess if you add like a quarter onto the ticket price, I guess that's my fee. it's going to be an awesome time. Now, in terms of, you do a ton of radio interviews promoting your books and such. What's like the next kind of project on the horizon?
Well, the next project is my third book. It's got to get to the editor by the end of this month, but it's going to be out in April, and I'll be releasing it there at that show, and maybe a little bit before. So that has been really mostly where I put a lot of my energy besides the radio shows when I'm working right now. And then being at OuijaCon. So these are the two things I got coming up on the horizon. After that, I'm really excited because I'm going to spend a little more time and write. I think I'm going to go back to writing my children's book about these spiritual principles I'm learning about with animals. I talk to animals all the time on the board, dead and alive, and they just tell you the funniest, the cutest, the sweetest little things that they inspired me to write a story. So I think that will probably be my next trick after I finish what's coming up in April. Then I'll go for that. And by the way, we just turning 125 years in April, and I'm turning the big 5-0. So it's like we're both celebrating our birthday in April, and I'm stoked about being a part of that.
That synchronicity right there on so many levels. Now, there's one last question, then I will let you go. And this is a great question, again, from one of my longtime listeners. They wanted to know about spirit guides and sort of like your helpers, your mm-hmm. helping team. Is that particular entity unique to you, or can they also work with other people?
They work with other people too. In fact, my Mary Angel, she's working with other people more so than she's working with me right now. She came in, quite a few years ago, and she'll come in and out. But my characters have really interesting names. I named them because I don't have names, and I named them by where they enter the board. I have the sun and the moon, and then I have healing spirit. He goes by HS. And so healing spirit, I had a group of people that came over and worked with me to do the Ouija board, and they were working to get better at using it. And I helped this paranormal group. They do investigations, and they're talking healing spirit now. I know that my guides work with many people. In fact, a lot of these guides out there, they're like a collective group of energies, and they work with many people at almost the same time. There's no sense of time and space for them, so it's like they could bilocate, trilocate. They could be everywhere if they need to be. But yes, they work with other people. They do.
Excellent. Now, is there anything that I have not mentioned, touched upon, or even breached that you would like to mention?
Well, I think most more importantly, okay, so Ouija board is an incredible tool. It's not for everybody. and I definitely respect that. And I'm not here to promote going out and go get your Ouija board. I'm saying what I am here to promote and what the real message is I want to touch on, and everything I write, everything I do, all the conversations we have about this tool, is that really within yourself is this incredible source, wellspring of energy. And when you tap into this, your life will just go in leaps and bounds forward. Not that life doesn't have its ups and downs, but what it does, it allows you to be more in your center, remain in your center, or come back to center more quickly, so you can keep bringing great things into your life through the way you feel and the way you think. So that's really the important message here, and that's the message that my spirit friends want everybody to know, that this is nothing special I'm doing, that everybody has the ability to tap into their higher self. And so I say that's what I really highly encourage everybody to do, to start listening to your own voice inside, and then you'll start hearing how it becomes this grander and a more knowledgeable voice that you'll start to hear. And it's really an incredible tool to have.
All right. Well said. Perfect place to, unfortunately, stop. Karen, I'd love to have you back on in the future, and I will definitely see you at OuijaCon.
Great, Eric. I would love to come back on your show. I like the questions. I like this format. So, yeah, but let's do it again.
All right. Fantastic. The dark sun has risen once again. I'm going to go crack a cold one and have a nice hand-rolled premium cigar. Until next week, in love and light, I'm Eric Bay.